Season 1 of Soul Operator is based on gameplay of the solo TTRPG Welcome to the Habit Trails by A. Yoland and is distributed under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international license. Like the game, this season will feature horror-typical themes as well as isolation, derealization, grief, and paranoia. For episode-specific trigger warnings, or to purchase the game for yourself, check out the description of the episode. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode 6, Nine of Cups.
Have you decided on a name yet?
Not yet, Connie. Maybe I'll just call it Dog.
That's dumb.
Are you kidding me? It's a classic. In every post-apocalyptic world, there's a dog named Dog.
You are making that up.
Do you have any bright ideas then, Smarty Pants?
Tucker.
She doesn't look like a Tucker. What about Lucy?
That's better than Dog, at least.
Hey! Oh, all right, all right. Let's get you two kids some lunch, huh?
Maybe it's cute.
There. Was that so hard? Now, Sandra's got some announcements for y'all, so we'd appreciate it if we had everyone's attention. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, John Michael. Now, I'm sure you've seen our new furry friend walking about. I want to alleviate any concerns you all may have about how she got inside the walls. Tessa here brought her in.
Wait, there are dogs out there?
Great.
As you are all aware,
how did you even find it?
Since the wall was built, we have heavily discouraged venturing outside. No one fully understands how this place works, but we all know there are dangers out there, and it is our responsibility to protect our community from those dangers. Now, I have already spoken with Tessa about this, and she will not be engaging in any more excursions. She knows that she was lucky to only bring back Lucy, and that any number of things could have happened. Isn't that right, Tessa?
Yeah.
Now, it's true that we never explicitly said that y'all were never to travel outside. But I think it is time that we make that clear. For the safety of all of us here, our families, our children, no one is allowed outside. And no one from out there is allowed inside. Of course, we have several houses and rooms that have yet to be occupied. Any new neighbors to join us will be instructed to follow suit.
Well, this is bullshit.
A pardon?
Nothing.
This is a community forum, Austin. If you have something to say, say it.
I said that this is bullshit.
Yes, I get that much. Would you care to elaborate?
That's it. You're not gonna punish her?
Oh God, Asta.
Is it friendly? It's not gonna bite one of the kids or anything.
She has promised to not continue her extracurricular activities. While it was risky, Tessa did bring us back supplies. Supplies she could have kept to herself, but instead she chose to share with our community. Now her heart was in the right place. To punish her for that would be to punish her for wanting to help the community, wouldn't it?
Her intentions don't matter. She put everyone here in danger when she opened up that hole in the fence. Who knows what could have gotten inside while she was out playing explorer like a child.
Tessa, do you have anything to say?
I only wanted to help.
Help? Is that what you call risking the lives of everyone else here?
We won't get anywhere if we just hide here for the rest of our lives. I want to go home. Find out who I am. Don't you want that?
I want to stay alive. Going off on your own and breaking the rules doesn't help anyone but yourself.
She wasn't—
You heard Sandra. There was no rule for me to break. I just didn't want anyone else to be involved so that if anything did happen, no one would be hurt. I was careful. You were never in any danger.
Not in danger? Am I the only one hearing her spouting all this?
If she wasn't careful, she could just let someone right back to her.
You are a threat. You aren't one of us, and you fucking know it. You're sick. That's what you are. You think none of us have seen how you just stare into the fucking fog with that sketchbook? What, you scratch into those cursed pages?
What?
Hey! Back off!
Oh, fuck off, lover boy. I'm sure you'll bend over backwards to excuse any of her behavior if it means she keeps batting those pretty little eyes at you, huh?
You think you've got me all figured out, don't you?
Oh, I know I do. You aren't better than any of the rest of us.
Nate, just leave it.
Yes, that is enough.
It must be nice, huh? Or she just must be pretty good, at least. One just wasn't enough for you, huh?
Yeah, keep talking, mate. See what happens.
Since we're on the topic of sharing... fuck!
I believe you were told to be quiet. Won't have any of that kind of talk around here.
You are going to get someone killed. Mark my words.
Thank you, John Michael. Now moving on, Han has requested...
I've been thinking a lot about the sun recently. Not this cheap imitation that hounds our sky, but the real sun back home. The warmth it would provide, even if it was sweltering heat sometimes. The way that it would paint the sky in this peach orange glow as it set beneath the horizon, surrounded by blues and purples that are so hard to capture in a way that's true to its beauty. I have this clear image in my mind of being in the sky and looking at the sun. I was flying, I think, traveling to who knows where, but the sky was so beautiful. I miss the color of life. This place, it's so gray, like nothing's supposed to stick out against the foggy backdrop. Even our clothes are sometimes dull and lifeless. I've been spending some of my free time trying to replicate the more beautiful things I can remember. Colored pencils and charcoal feel so right in my hands, their weight a reminder of a life once lived. Still, I can never quite get a sunrise right. The kids have been having a great time with the art supplies, though. Honestly, they're way better at this whole art thing than I am. The little kids, especially, practically blank canvases themselves. They have no concept of what's right and wrong when it comes to art. They just do it. A rainbow of chalk strewn on the pavement in countless shapes and patterns with no real rhyme or reason. Swirling lines forming whirlpools that lead to nothing. They've been having so much fun, so I'm glad I got to at least bring some joy to the community before what I can only call the scolding of a lifetime. It was hard to explain where dog Lucy came from since we've patched all the holes in the wall. I covered for Anisha as best I could, but I could tell that she knew I'd roped her into it. She did me the favor of letting me sacrifice myself and didn't mention Annie in her long-winded lecture to the rest of the community about the dangers of venturing outside the barricade. How it was put up for a reason. I kept my mouth shut about how quiet it is out there. She's trying to keep people safe, keep the community together. I get it. I needed to be the example. It could have been worse. She could have really punished me like that guy wanted. Also, who the fuck is that? I've literally never seen him before in my life, and suddenly he has some problem with me? Talk about projecting. He was probably too much of a coward to ever even try what I did. And what, he lashes out at me? Tries to discredit me in front of everyone like I'm just Nate's... I am my own fucking person. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. I wish I were only drawing beautiful things. He was right. I've been, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know if it's even me. I'm losing time. I close my eyes, and when I open them, I'm on the roof, facing the fog. Sketchbook in hand, pages covered in blackened charcoal, my hands stained alike. It's been happening more and more often, mostly at night. I don't know what's happening to me. I need to find out what's going on. Why are we all here? Why doesn't anyone remember anything? What's the point? Sandra, who's been here for years longer than anyone else, says that she barely remembers more than the rest of us about her old life. None of it makes any sense. I feel like she's hiding something. But why? Why did she wait so long to build the wall? If she's been here for so long, if the raiders and the whatever else is out there have been a problem for so long, a plague on the community, why wait so long to do anything about it? I'm going to find out what's going on. No matter what Sandra says, I'm going to keep looking. Even if it is just to keep myself away from that goddamn fog. You're the only one I can trust. And I don't even know who you are. Yet. If I ever will. There's something so familiar about that guy. I'm sure it'll come to me.
Just follow directions.
Oh, so you're on her side.
There are no sides. There's being safe and there's being stupid.
Nate.
No, it's bad enough that the two of you were doing this behind my back, but you didn't even have the courtesy to tell me when things went wrong.
I found a dog. That's hardly going wrong.
You have no idea what could have happened, Tessa. Even with Anisha on the other line, she would have been too far away to help you, even if Lucy turned out to be something else.
She wasn't.
But she could have been.
But she wasn't.
You don't know what's out there.
Do you? Do you? Do you know what's out there? Everyone keeps talking about how dangerous it is outside. Maria thinks there are creatures running around, but I haven't seen any of that. You're asking me to believe in something that just isn't there. What is everyone so goddamn afraid of?
Why can't you just listen to me?
Right back at you.
You promised me. I'll see you later.
Yeah. All right. He just worries about you.
I know.
I worry about you too.
I know.
You really scared me.
I'm sorry.
Are you?
Of course I am.
No, Tessa. Do you understand what you're apologizing for?
For scaring you.
Tessa, you turned off your walkie. You cut me out and left me in the dark, and I was terrified that you were going to get hurt or worse, and I wouldn't know what happened to you. That would have killed me because it would have been my fault for letting you go out there.
No.
And then I would have had to be the one to tell Nate. And what would I tell him? I would have had to see the look on his face when I tell him that you're gone. To have to tell Dean and Connie, and I wouldn't even be able to tell them how.
It was my choice.
And I chose to not tell Nate, because that's what we thought was best. It just hurt him, Tess.
I just didn't want either of you to get hurt.
I know.
Do you think he hates me?
No. I think he just cares so much that he's angry.
Angry at me?
At both of us.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
I know. You should tell him that.
I will. I promise.
I'll see you later. Okay?
Yeah. I'll see you later. Don't forget to eat something.
Yeah. Tessa, promise me you won't go back out there without us. Promise me.
I promise.
This episode featured Tatiana Gefter as Tessa Whitlock, Mike LeBeau as Nathan Sutter, Addie Nofal as Anisha Amin, Crystal Storm as Sandra McLean, Dylan Griggs as John Michael Cassidy, Gail Sullivan as Connie Lawton, Michael Blundell as Dean Sutter, Dorian Scott as Austin Frazier, and additional voices provided by Taylor Michaels and Sean Curry, with music and editing by Jay Stroutman. For more information regarding our show, please check out our social medias under Soul Operator Pod.
Knave of Cups is an online shop dedicated to supporting inclusion and creativity in the tabletop role-playing community. They carry a variety of cards, puzzles, and role-playing games from independent artists and creators around the globe, including Welcome to the Habit Trails. Use promo code SOUL to take $5 off your next order of $25 or more on www.knaveofcups.com.
A special thank you to our patrons, Tay-Tay Hey-Hey, Probs Not Hawkeye, Lumi, Starlight, Sirius, Claire K, Sean Pell, Runmai Salil, Wes Marin Bennett, Ethan, and Jesse Hall. You all help keep the show affordable to produce, and we could not be more thankful for your support. Starting next week, we'll be limiting our patron shoutouts to the 10 most recent patrons. To join them and to hear your own name at the end of an episode, check out our $5 and up tiers on our Patreon. www.patreon.com/soulOperatorPod.com